verse, this is used by many acharyas as an entry verse into the secrets of the holy name. For instance, in the manual which we will be using to enter the chanting of the holy name, the manual written by Bhaktivinod Thakur, he really uses this verse at the entry. It reads like this: Krishna nama chintamani anani chinmaya jai Krishna sei nama etatva hoya chaitanya vigra nama nitya mukta tatva nama nami binanaya nitya shudasatva. Krishna's name is a touchstone, a divine, beginningless spiritual jewel. Krishna is his name. He and his name form a single substance. The holy name is a conscious form, an eternally liberated entity. The name and the named are not different, but eternal, pure being. In this material world, the name appears in the form of sounds and syllables, an incarnation of the Supreme Soul appearing joyfully on the tongue. So, it is said in the Sanskrit, it is puna, that means undivided. The form Krishna, the personality of Krishna, is not different or divided from his syllable form, from his name form. It's Shuddha. Never is it in connection with Maya. And Nitya Mukta, a similar appellation. It's always beyond the power of the world. It's purely transcendental, spiritual. Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes so far to explain that in this world you only find two truly spiritual entities. That is, you. Yes, you are spiritual. And Krishna as his name. In our Japa retreat, we will try to bring the two together, you and Krishna. It's about a relationship to Krishna in his most merciful of forms. This relationship is absolutely necessary to make you spiritually alive. Just like a spark which has fallen from the fire and lives only for a few days. You are not alive when you are disconnected from Krishna, just like a spark which again enters the fire, dances joyfully, energetically, with full vitality. You will be able to make your spiritual life a joyful dance the moment you can enter the connection, the right relationship with the holy name. In Vaishnava philosophy, it is said that your whole evaluation of life can be done with one yardstick. Do you sometimes turn around into your life and ask, where am I, how things are going, how is the desert heart doing, am I satisfied with what I am living so far? I think every one of us does this either consciously, and because most of us are unconscious thinkers, unconsciously we ask, am I satisfied? Is everything going right? And is the shoe of my life helping me to walk, or is it just creating pain? Is everything correct? So if you want to evaluate success in life, you could turn to the Harinam Chintamani, where it says, the purity of a Vaishnava is judged by how much attraction or rati he has for the holy name. The status and being of a Vaishnava has nothing to do whatsoever with his official status or his wealth, his wisdom, his Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vedanta title. Bhakti, what is it? Vaibhava? It's a fund of the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education in which we are teaching. There's nothing to do your life with your youth. Now comes something for the Matajis, with your pleasing appearance. Now something for the men. Your strength. Something for the gurus. Your followers. Nothing whatsoever of these things has anything to do with your existence as a Vaishnava. Your being a Vaishnava is judged solely by how much attraction or rati you have for the holy name. And here's a problem with which we start. We have said that the holy name, this is a verse for this Padma Purana, is a Chintamani jewel. Do you know something about the Chintamani jewel? It's a fabulous jewel in medieval European mysticism. It appears as the Holy Grail. It's a jewel which can give you whatever you desire. It's a jewel or a substance which instantaneously, upon touching it, transforms a substance into something else. The Chintamani jewel or what mysticism calls the Stein der Weisen, philosopher's stone, is praised because of this one quality. It is touched to something, and this something, click, turns into something else. For instance, ordinary iron, which is touched with the Chintamani jewel, turns into pure, or the purest of all gold. Now here comes a problem and a grave doubt with which I would like to start this day. Why do we call the holy name a Chintamani jewel? I'm chanting so long and I have not been transformed. As of yet, these high-sounding glorifications of the holy name only make me disappointed because I feel they are a Shastric lie. When I hear a verse from Shastra, like this one, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. I have not obtained even a whiff, a scent of love of Godhead. My heart has remained a place where I hear the melodies of the world, the thoughts of the world, the desires of the world. I only become sad if I hear this appellation. It seems that the holy name should not be called a touchstone because it has not changed. The scriptures tell us an answer to this grave doubt. And I feel it's necessary to deal with this grave doubt because we will be hoping in this Japa retreat to be touched by the holy name and transformed by the holy name and changed by the holy name. And it would be, it's our desire that every one of you leave this Japa retreat as a lover of God. Yes. When someone sees you, they say, oh, he is a lover of God. What happened to him? Japa retreat at Vashana happened to him. See, let our intelligence not become bewildered. It is not that a substance transforms another substance under all conditions. If, for instance, you touch ice, only under certain conditions will your head become cool and your head become cool. In Germany, we put ice on the head when we have headaches. I don't know if we do it in India and here. Only under certain conditions this works. If, for instance, you should touch an ice block to achieve coolingness with a glove of cork, or if you put a woolen blanket on your head, and then expect the ice which you put for cooling purposes on top of it to cool your hot thoughts and headaches, it will not work. Prabhupada once asked his disciples a challenging question. Will fire burn straw under all conditions? Then he shook his head and said, no, not if the straw is wet. And then he said, in the same way, the holy name, the chanting, will only work if you are free from offenses. Therefore, we have the 4 rules and regulations. In other times, he would say, it's very easy to become Krishna conscious. What is difficult is to become determined. So also to become Krishna consciousness only works under a certain condition. But I would like to give you hope today. Please listen to the tremendous generosity and compassion of and the great promise of the holy name. It is true, Krishna will only come into the heart of the chanter if the heart is pure, and only then will we attain this relationship of love with Krishna. Krishna will remain absent to an impure center. But not entirely. Krishna takes on a merciful form, a most merciful form, a form in which he is absolutely the same as in the form. He will say, take on the name form and mercifully come into the heart where he cleanses the rubbish out of the court of the heart so that the stench of lust and greed which keeps him from sitting down goes away and he will then sit down. Jiva Goswami makes this point that the name and the form of the Lord or the personality of the Lord are the same. Yeah, and he gives the example of the apples and mangoes which a confectioner bakes. In India, a confectioner, I do hope this is the right English word. By the way, I have made a determined step to learn English. I have bought an English teaching computer. So I'm very open to all corrections. When I say the wrong word, please tell me. The confectioner takes the form of an apple and pours sugar syrup into it. Then he takes the form of a mango and pours the same sugar syrup from the same container into the form of the mango. And then he waits. After some time of waiting, he takes the form away and there is an apple and a mango, which for all practical purposes is exactly the same. It is the same. When you eat this sugar syrup apple, just think of it, makes me shudder. It's so sweet. Young tongues can eat this. You'd have the same taste as when you say, let me try the sugar mango. It's the same taste. Still, there is a slight difference. So, the difference which is there, the slight difference is a difference of mercy. As the holy name will enter into the heart of the conditioned soul and cleanse it, clean it more, so that God can sit inside the heart. He can come. Rupa Goswami addresses this point in his Sri Krishna Namashtakam, Shloka 6. He says, Vacham vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama sarupadvayam purvasmat paramevanta karunam tatapi janimahe yastasmin vihita paradanimaha prani samantat pavet. Oops. Asyene dammupasya sopihi chadanam dambudo majat. Oh, holy name, you appear in two forms. Vacham, your form of the Supreme Lord, and Vachakam, your transcendental name. Of these two, we consider the form of the holy syllables to be infinitely more compassionate than the form, your form. Because if a person having taken shelter of your form commits an aparad, the only recourse he has is to become the servant of the holy name and chant incessantly Krishna, Govinda, and so on. By your immeasurable transcendental potency, all his offenses disappear and he experiences uninterrupted joy, submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. So yes, Krishna will not come to you in one form if your heart is full of anattas and offenses. But Krishna will come to you in his other form, the same form. Don't become deceived by this apparent disguise of Krishna, that he comes in the name form. This is only an apparent disguise. You will lament when you are more pure. Oh, I had the most precious jewel, but I threw it into the drainage. I had the holy name, but my mind wandered. I had the Lord. Now I know what mistake I made. Alas, alas. Don't become deceived by this most merciful form of the Lord, who is ready to come like the refreshing stream of Ganga into your heart and take it out. Take the rubbish out. I was very, very happy when Bhagavat Ashraya Prabhu on Prabhupada's disappearance day related to us an intimate instruction of Srila Prabhupada's to him. He was in the Vrindavan Krishna Balaram temple serving, I forgot in what capacity, and he was, I think it must have been Sankirtan for that time. He took out a party of Sankirtan devotees from the Krishna Balaram temple, and he came to say goodbye to Srila Prabhupada, to hear some instructions or blessing, maybe. So he entered Prabhupada's quarter after Srila Prabhupada had taken a rest, and there he saw Srila Prabhupada very happily chanting. Then he offered his obeisances and he said a little sheepishly, Prabhupada, we are now going out for Sankirtan from the temple for a week or so. Prabhupada looked at him, said, very good. Then Bhagavat Ashraya Prabhu reacted like many of us in the old time. We were just so bewildered in Prabhupada's presence, because it was very overwhelming to me. And I remember when I was called into Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada was alone, I began to perspire, and it was perspiration which came from the organs. That means it carried the stench of a young man who had just passed the ocean of puberty. And I was perspiring and red, and I couldn't really speak. I have always many things on my mind to talk. I'm a big talker, but I was silenced. So he sat there, and he thought the meeting is over. Then Prabhupada took water on his table, drip, 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 drip he made. Then he said, if you chant and chant, drip, 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 he said, drip, drip, it will go through the stone. Everything will come from this. This is the instruction which we hear always from all the acharyas. When you are covered with offenses and anattas, just chant, chant, chant. And this chanting will pierce through the covering, just like water can veer away the stones. And then after some time, Naam Rasa, the beginnings of chanting good Krishna consciousness will happen. So, in this japa retreat, we will do this. But
Bhagavad
Ashraya.
Yes. What happened? That's the story.
That's the story.
And what did Prabhupada say to you? Oh, you.
Yeah, when I came into the room perspiring in my teenage blossom, I was red as if I had met my first lover in my face and shaking. I don't know exactly how it so long ago, but I was just thought Prabhupada just looked at me and in a great voice he said, "Just do your service." He had called me to, I was called to massage Srila Prabhupada because His Holiness Sanswarup Maharaj had a fever that morning and Prabhupada had sent him to take rest, so I was the substitute, the nervous German substitute. Prabhupada looked at me and said, "Yes, do your service." We will do this. Today we will prepare you for tomorrow. Tomorrow you will just do your service. You will chant 64 rounds in another world. At a sacred space where usually no parigrams come, but we have requested entry from Srimati Radharani. There are only very good Babas staying who chant from morning till night, at least this one Baba, and they will they are very, very interested to meet all of you and see how you're doing with your japa. We will be a good association and we will just chant and it will be our good best day. See, why is this practice so powerful? It is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the best practice is when the spiritual practice is itself the goal of that practice. When there is no difference between the sadhana and the satya, that is the means and the end. That's the supreme spiritual practice. This is, he says, when nothing separates the spiritual practice from the goal of the practice, then, O Mahaprabhu, by your mercy, the jiva easily crosses over samsara. I am most lowly, and I'm always absorbed in mundane thoughts. I'm such a fool that I have never worshipped your holy name. It's the words of Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur spoke these words, "I have never worshipped you," tears began to trickle down from his cheek, and with a long sigh, he fell down at Lord Chaitanya's feet. "Oh," says Bhaktivinoda, "the holy name, this divine wish-fulfilling jewel in the life of Bhaktivinoda." This is how he introduces the glories of the holy name in Harinam Chintamani. Have you ever heard this in esoteric vishivashi language? "The way is the goal." You have heard. Here it is true. If you have Krishna on your tongue in the form of his name, he is there. But you will realize that on a level when that Krishna, the form of the syllable, has so much purified your heart that you can see him on your tongue dancing. In that time, you will make a request which at this moment, when you start your practice, sounds almost like the most horrible thing to ask for. A devotee who has realized the secret of the name's identity with the form, will say, "What? I wish to have many more bodies." And many, you may think, "Oh no, one body is enough, especially one mind is enough. One mind is already too much for me at times." But when you are sufficiently purified by the chanting, by the means, you will see the Lord, and then you will lament, "I would like to have millions of ears, millions of tongues, millions of minds to remember you and to while I chant." That will come. I would like to introduce to you our hero for this Japa retreat, at least in the time of my presentation. It is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur. We will have two heroes' journeys we will hear about to follow some footsteps. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, example I would like to give first. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote two works which he exclusively dedicated to the holy name. One is the Bhajan Rahasya, and the other is the Harinam Chintamani. Both these words were written in what we could call in English a transitional period of his life. That means you go from one stage to another. Yesterday, in Germany, we would affectionately say our most youngest member, what it means in classical American English is the oldest of us, said she is in a transitional period, having done one service for 20 plus years, and now some other service is there. I would like all of you to think that you are in a transitional period. You have come with one level of appreciating the holy name to the holy Dham, and you have expressed yesterday, I've written down very carefully what you worked in your work groups, your desires for a deeper relationship with the holy name. You are in a transition. You want to come from one level to the next higher level. And for this he wrote, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote these books about the holy name. Harinam Chintamani, and I will be teaching you from this work. I have it with the Bengali and everything is there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's original notes was written after his retirement from government service in 1894, and he was in Navadvip at that time, and then in 1901, that's after 7 years, he purchased land in Puri on the ocean front. And on this land, he built, I can't believe my eyes, many known faces are entering. Welcome, every one of you. Hare Krishna. On this day, this year, he built a little house on the ocean front of Puri. He called it the Bhakti Kutir, the House of Bhakti, and he went into this little house with one sole desire. He wanted to chant the holy names from morning till evening. That was the, you know, after his retirement, he went into this house to really devote all his life's energy into this chanting, and to write down a guidebook which he collected. He said, I collected some jewels from the Shastras to write this. He wrote this book, Harinam Chintamani. In this book, everything is there which you need to know. And we will go through all the stations in the book. And we will make experiments or exercises with it. This house is no longer there in the same front, in the same shape. But the marble board which he wrote, where he wrote down his intention, his sankalpa, is still there. And it reads in the translation. In order to remember, it's his purpose. It says, in order to remember the names and qualities of Sri Krishna Murari, he who is known as Bhaktivinod has given up everything to come here to the land of Lord Gauranga's pastimes, taking refuge in this cottage of devotion, this bhakti kutiya. Isn't this a beautiful image? The journey of the hero who leaves his old life behind, goes into that space, liminal space, where he was never before, and does a practice, commits himself to a practice to reach his life's goal. I would like you to keep this picture in your mind, to follow the footsteps of this Acharya, this Nam hero. We will introduce a little later our second hero who also appears, and to follow his footsteps very carefully as we go through the japa retreat. When you do this, you will be for sure successful in your life. The Harinam Chintamani opens with a scene which I will do in the I will open this scene when we are in our special place today, where the lectures will take place. The Nam Kunj, it's called, the forest of the holy name. We will enter a real forest. We will see some cows in there, and I've requested a cobra to also come for the excitement, that no one falls asleep, because we will chant it as if we are in the face of our of death. We will be really very concentrated and very good. Now, because I know some of you are very fearful. There are many cobras in Braj, and I could have brought one, but I didn't do this. It's safe, in other words. But I want to make you fired up. And then we will meet the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his second chapter, Jivani chit vyapare Krishna namada arasapa prapanchika jagat samsara. The jiva himself is a spiritual entity, and the second is Krishna's name. Other than this, all in creation is a product of the material elements. Prabhu, then he makes a note in Mataji's. A note which helps us to separate from the world. In this material world, everything is illusory and lifeless. The jiva, you have become entangled in this illusory world. The jiva is the only spiritual entity within the material world. And Krishna descends into this material world in the form of His holy name. And on so doing, becomes the second spiritual entity within matter. As such, there are only two spiritual entities in the world. The conscious living entity and the Lord's holy name. The gods like Brahma are separated portions of the Supreme Lord and are thus counted amongst the jivas. They are also jivas, in other words. So, forget the world, please. Be ready to separate from the world. Therefore, we have requested you, I will repeat it again, no emails, no troubling thoughts, please. No codependence on so many relationships which do not give you what the one relationship gives you, your relationship to Krishna. Only three devotees up till now are making phone calls today because that has to be done. And then as you separate from the illusory world, understanding, I want to be myself now, the jiva, and I want to meet the only spiritual other entity in this world, that is Krishna in the form of the name. No? You will be able to enter into what Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls the dance of eternity. The spark will rejoin the fire. I have this quotation. But before we can do that, we will have to overcome some obstacles. And this will be what we will be teaching in the Naam Kunj. The very moment the obstacles to one's worship of Krishna are overcome, one discovers the name in all its divine splendor, dancing on one's tongue. Do some of you want nectar in life? No. From that moment on, where you feel Krishna dancing on the tongue, the jiva cannot stop drinking the nectar and dances in eternal ecstasy in the divine intoxication of the name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this dance. The holy name dances, the jiva dances, and the treasure of love dances. Together these three, the dancing holy name, the dancing jiva, and the dancing love, will make the whole world dance. And then Maya, the illusion, runs away. Then he says, "Oh Krishna, you have given every human being the right to chant your names. You have invested all your infinite potencies into the holy name." Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he tells something with which I want to end this quotation. When can you chant at the initial state? Where do you have to start your japa retreat? On what step? Has any one of you any idea? At the step of humility. Trinada Pisavichina. I'm now repeating. I will not show with my face if it's right or wrong. Where do you have to step? To start your journey. Be repentance. or did you say dependence?
Repentance
and humility, Jamashtami.
An honest appraisal of where you are.
An honest appraisal of where you are. Could you help us Europeans who are not so good in English with the word appraisal? What is an honest appraisal, please?
To honestly admit and go deep, try to understand your position with the Holy Name, how successful you're chanting it.
Yeah. Your honest admittance, understanding, another word was given, assessment of where you are. These are the answers. Your points were extremely helpful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the right to chant this touchstone name can be claimed by someone who has one qualification. This is where we will start. You have brought up very high qualifications: humility, honest assessment. Gurijan Prabhu has given us something very true and witty. You have to bring your tongue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says another thing. Yara Shraddha Hoya Nam Se Adhikari. The Adhikar, qualification, the right is, whoever has faith in the Holy Name has the right to chant it. And he will bring up this point of faith again and again. Once there was a Brajbihari, up till when then we can, I will end with this story.
That clock is fast, so whatever you have on your watch is fine.
Okay. I will tell you a story of faith. Once there was a guru. He was not an ISKCON guru. He had disciples, the same type of disciples which we could find in ISKCON. And all these disciples came into a rebellious mood. The rebellion had to do something with the problem. The Holy Name has been called a touchstone, but we are not touched by it and transformed. They developed a doubt. They said, one day they had an Ishta Goshti secret, and they went to the Guru and said, Guru Maharaj, can you give us enlightenment? For 9 years we are in the process. We are not yet enlightened. We stipulate, stipulate means we demand, that you give us enlightenment in one day, within 1 day or 3 days. If you don't do it, we go somewhere else. In modern ISKCON language, this is called guru hopping. You hop from one to the other. We will go somewhere else to get enlightenment. Guru answered, he was a very good Vaishnava. He said, the place to contain enlightenment is your heart, and your heart is still punctured by lust, greed, and illusion. It will not be able to contain this rare fruit. Oh, Guru Maharaj, you have said this since 7 years. Our question is, don't go around the hot the meal any longer. Give us the meal. Can you give us enlightenment, yes or no? We have developed a doubt within you. Oh, what could the poor old man do with the rebels in disguise? he said, you have to pass one more test. And he thought, and then he had the test. One more test. It's an easy test. Then you will get it. Come back in the afternoon. So they all came, and the guru had a basket with many different fruits. There were bananas, oranges, mangoes, and he gave every one of them one of those fruits. The test is that you eat this fruit without anyone seeing you. When you have done so, come back. Easy. They took the fruits, they were right in the lonely forest. They went into different places in the forest, the clearings, which they found, hiding places, tree caves, and so on, and ate them, and the fruits, and returned after 2 hours or so, bringing the remnants of the fruits as a proof that they had passed the test. Here, no one saw us, said one and showed his banana peel. So then they pressed again hard. Now the enlightenment, please. The guru said, one of you is missing. Where is Gopal? Oh, Gopal, the fool, he's always too late. No, we have to wait until everyone is back. They waited for the evening, the sunset, no Gopal. They waited for the next day, they waited another day, and after the third day, Gopal came. His face was drenched with tears, and he brought back the mango, fully intact. Here, Gopal said, I couldn't pass your test. I couldn't find the place you said I should find. I went into the clearing. I went to the waterfall. I went underneath the waterfall to find a place where no one could see me eating. But you had told in your first lessons that Krishna is everywhere. Vasudeva Savamiti. Even underneath the waterfall, Krishna is there, so I could not find a place where no one was seeing me. Here, please take your fruit. When the other disciples heard this, they were flabbergasted. I have no shraddha. I have no faith. Yes, I have not made the first step of faith. Therefore, I cannot really be entitled for enlightenment. So, my dear devotees, today you have to search your heart for your faith. If you don't have so much faith that Krishna is there in the holy name, you will have a different result. You will not have the most enlightened states. At least during this time, and that's why we lecture during this japa retreat. Today we have a few lectures on the subject. Today, you have to work on your faith in Krishna. You have to work on your faith that Krishna can come into your life. You have to work on your faith. And if you don't have any faith, like most Hare Krishnas, then you have to at least theoretically accept that Krishna is not different from His name. You have at least to make this theoretical step. That's why we have philosophy. To convince your mind structures so that some faith can happen and take birth in there. But only when there is faith, you will make lots of advancement. So, today is the faith day, and I will challenge you a little bit in the Naam Kunj on this. Bring your seat belts with you. But for now, I will end. I thank you very, very much. The points which I wanted to make in summary is really the holy name works under certain conditions. We have to work on removing these obstacles to our in our lives, and the prerequisite of these to remove obstacles is faith, really, faith in the holy name, so that you are willing to set yourself to work. My message to you in this lecture is, at least theoretically, enter the Naam Tattva, the truth about the holy name, that it is the most powerful of spiritual practices, and it's the practice which can help you also at this stage, because the means and the end are the same. Therefore, it's very, very powerful. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions? We have exactly 9 minutes for questions. So please ask your questions in a brief way, if possible, and I will try to answer in brief. Have faith in the presence of Krishna everywhere. How could they then have enlightenment of Krishna? Krishna's presence in the holy name, you have to have faith in that if you chant. Well, that was my point. Thank you for asking this question. Krishna's presence in the name form, that is the faith with which you can start. I, in fact, do this meditation before, when I chant. This is now an autobiographical answer. Before I chant, or when I chant, I go through 3 mental exercises. I walk through 3 halls in my mind. And the first hall is the hall of faith. There are many quotes from scriptures displayed, like in a Metropolitan Museum of New York, where there are many exhibits. And I go to many things which increase my faith. Examples of the great acharyas like Haridas Thakur, that's a faith builder. Remembrance of my own experiences, that's the first hall. Faith that Krishna is there in the holy name, and that there are many displays. You might like to construct such a hall also. A hall like a museum where you can always go and have displays of faith. Then I walked through other halls, which we will get to know later from Harinam Chintamani, but one step after the other. I saw someone there, Adi Purusha, then I saw Jamashtami Prabhu. Is an act of choice, or is it something which happens to us? I would like to answer your question, very good question, with a Sanskrit analysis of the word Shraddha. Shra means heart, and Da means to give the heart. You can do this in on your own, to give your heart, or you can fall in love. That means your heart is pulled by another agent. So you can... So what this means for us is, you can invest your faith into something. This is what Prabhupada means when he says, at least theoretically accept this. Okay, I start with an investment of faith. You do this theoretically on your own will. But faith is also something which happens to you. When you see some a person who has faith in the holy name. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about the potency of the mercy of a Vaishnava and the association of Vaishnavas. And it happens to you. It comes to you. I was in Govardhan near the hill chanting this year, and I went through a particularly dry phase. I was also hungry and tired, and I had forgotten to drink sufficient water, and my rounds were really grinding them out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then all of a sudden, I heard from the Apsara Kund a voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. My skeptical mind, you know, I was with a very bad consciousness, or another of these Indians who reacts to the cold water of the Apsara Kund, you know, who takes a bath and who is shocked by the bath. But it was not. There was this very nice Vaishnav who had these tears in the eyes, who chanted clearly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was on fire. This man was on fire. And I said, God, finally I find someone of those. And I went into a hiding place and just looked at him and chanted Hare Krishna. And something came into my heart. Then I was like, Hare Krishna, yes, good, very good, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna Baba, I called her over the Apsara Kund. And he then looked at me. And you know, this typical look when someone is absorbed in something else, he looked right through me. He didn't see me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very good, Baba, thank you. And then I went to my place and I chanted with full vigor and strength, you know, very good. Prabhupada said there are many pure devotees in the holy Dham who are searching for Krishna. Jamashtami Prabhu told us something which I believe is relevant to all of us. Sometimes mountain and valley journey of faith, huh? It goes up and down. How can we stabilize this? There's something you must know about Shraddha. The beautiful queen of Shraddha has a soul, and only when the soul of Shraddha is there, then Shraddha is really healthy and stable. It's just like a body. When there is the body without any soul, the body decomposes. So when Shraddha Devi loses its soul, she becomes weak and begins to even show signs of first atrophy, atrophied Shraddha, and then it even dies at certain, first at the outer rims. You know, Shraddha is like when the soul is not there, the outer limbs of Shraddha Devi will die away, and then even the heart of Shraddha will die. Only when Shraddha has a soul can Shraddha be stable, healthy, and active in your life. This soul of Shraddha is called by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Utsahan, or enthusiasm. When you enter your faith with enthusiasm, you will be able to serve Krishna nicely, and then Krishna will reciprocate very nicely. Let us not forget, spiritual life is not a mental construct, it is a matter of a living relationship. And Krishna is there's a mutual reciprocity. Oh, please help me with that. How do we say it?
Reciprocity. Reciprocity.
Ah, that's a difficult word.
Try exchange. Exchange.
Put another. Exchange. Oh, yes. There is a reciprocal exchange in that relationship. And you know, when you, it's just, if you meet a friend, Jamashtami, you are enthusiastic. How have you been? I have a present for you. Oh, could we do this together? What do you think of this idea? There is this enthusiasm in the relationship. Ooh, there's so much reciprocation from the friend. But if you have no enthusiasm in the friendship, he might look at you bored. So Krishna is like this. You need to approach him with a healthy shraddha, and shraddha is healthy by enthusiasm. Therefore, we are trying to make you a little enthusiastic for chanting, and for so that your shraddha will work again, and you will be very, very, you will feel a reciprocational thing. Time is also there. Before Braj Bihari says it, I want to say it. We will now end our class. Braj Bihari, would you like to give us an orientation?